Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you have a question about a particular scripture reference in the Bible that's confusing to you, we would love to help you out to put the lens of God's grace on that and to give you some hope and assurance that you're just fine in God's eyes because of the work of Jesus Christ. If you have a problem situation that you're dealing with, you just don't know the answer, what the Bible says about that, we want to help you with that as well. So plenty of open lines right now, 844-322-2742. Richard Piper is here. Andrew Farley is here. I'm Bob Christopher. We welcome you as well. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
It's always great to have you.
Yes, I woke
up this morning at 6 o'clock with a little notification on my phone from CNN saying that Matt Lauer, the anchor of the Today Show on NBC, had been fired for sexual misconduct. And, you know, we watch, Gina and I watch the Today Show and have been for most of our marriage. So we've seen Matt Lauer from the time he was hired, I think in 1997 or something like that, all the way to now. And so to hear that kind of information about him is a little shocking. But boy, there's been a lot of that in the news of late. A lot of people, women coming forward, telling their stories of sexual harassment in the workplace by powerful, well-known people. And, you know, the Bible speaks of that. The Bible speaks a lot of about sexual immorality. And it talks about the fact that you and I, as believers in Christ, have been set apart from that way of life. We've been sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been cleansed. We've been sanctified. We've been justified. But all of that is to enable us to live a new life by abiding in the resurrected Christ and allowing him to produce his life in and through us. And so that's a life that's not going to be filled with sexual immorality. So we have an opportunity as Christians to take the lead in the workplace, to really show people what it looks like to treat one another as God treats us, in love and grace and mercy and forgiveness. And boy, I hope we will learn really how to abide in Christ and show, really model what it means to treat each other as equals. I mean, it's an important thing, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, you know, Bob, I think also you just think about our nature, our new nature, our new identity. Part of that is that we are pure, that God has made us pure, spiritually speaking, when he took the old self to the cross with him, and when he made us a new self. Well, that new self is holy and righteous and blameless and pure in heart, pure in spirit. So, you know, when you think about these passages, such as the one that we're going to talk a little bit about here, 1 Thessalonians 4, I mean, these commands, these instructions about behavior, about purity in thought, purity in deed, these are not coming out of left field. These are basically saying, go ahead and act like who you are. If you're pure on the inside, put on purity on the outside. If you're righteous on the inside, go ahead and act that way. If you're holy and blameless, go ahead and choose behavior that fits with that. So this is not coming out of nowhere. It's not a legalistic vacuum, so to speak. I mean, there is such a foundation for purity and such a foundation for pure living here because of who we are, born of God with a new nature, a new heart, a new spirit, and God's spirit living in us. So, guys, when it says possess your own vessel in set-apartedness, you know, possess your own body that way, it's saying, hey, if you've already given yourself to God, then why not also present your body to God every day? That's just biblical common sense, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And the passage we're referring to is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and it starts in verse 2. It says, "For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus." So that's the reality. I'm giving you these instructions through the Lord Jesus. "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." So we've been sanctified. We've been set apart. That's a done deal because of the work of Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. Yeah. So there's the big difference. We know God.
Yeah.
And we know what God thinks about us. And that is so evident in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. God so loved us that he sent his Son. This is love that God demonstrated, his love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. This is love that God sent Jesus to be the propitiation, the one who takes away our sins. So that love has been demonstrated for us, and we know that love. We experience that love on a daily basis as we abide in the vine of Christ. So we know God. So we know that love that God has for each of us individually is the same love that he has for that person over there and that person over there. And because of that, we can treat them in the basis of this knowledge of God that we have. So like you said, this isn't teaching in a vacuum. This is really just the outgrowth of who we are in Christ Jesus. And like I said, as we learn how to live in this truth and really learn how to abide in Christ, we can take the lead in the workplace, can't we? I mean, we can model what it looks like to treat each other as equals in God's sight.
Yeah, and you know, this topic makes me think of, you know, Paul is saying here for a couple of reasons. First, don't sin against your brother. That's interesting in verse 6. You know, don't transgress, don't defraud your brother, meaning, you know, talking about taking someone else's wife or whatever it might be, sexual immorality, outside of the marriage. Don't defraud somebody. Don't treat them in a way that you would not want to be treated. So this reminds me of other places where Paul says, we belong to each other. Let's not lie to one another, since we belong to each other. And then he says, anyone who sins sexually is sinning against his own body. I find that interesting. He's saying, boy, you're doing harm to yourself that you don't even realize. You think you're chasing after fulfillment and all these sort of things that the enemy has sold you, but what you're really doing is defrauding yourself of real contentment. You're sinning against your own body. You're doing harm to yourself that you don't even realize yet. With that immorality comes all kinds of mental connections to another person that aren't healthy. It can certainly, deep six your marriage. It can ruin your relationships and even your own mental stability, and your walk with the Lord is certainly, you know, you get disturbed emotionally, you get off track, you can't figure out your way of escape. Over the years, we've counseled so many people, guys, who, you know, they think they want something, and then when they go for it, they realize, what have I done? Miserable man that I am, who will rescue me? And boy, if they had just used a little bit of wisdom up front, then they could save themselves all that time and energy and wasted effort chasing after something that didn't pay off anyway.
That's exactly right. Yeah. Andrew, thank you for those comments. This is Basic Gospel. We're here with Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley. I'm Bob Christopher. We have plenty of open lines for you at 844-322-2742. I want to thank all of those who jumped in on Giving Tuesday to support Basic Gospel, to help us tell this story of Jesus as often as we can to as many people as we can. And that was really a shot in the arm yesterday to see folks rally behind this message and say to us that we want to continue reaching out and expanding the outreach of Basic Gospel. I know, Andrew, you had a great day through your ministry on Giving Tuesday as well. And isn't that humbling to see the support that's out there and the hearts that want to join in and give and say, we want to deliver the good news to as many people as possible?
Yeah, I mean, every year, guys, we're blown away by people who want to partner with this message. And, you know, at Basic Gospel, it's a daily radio broadcast that reaches literally hundreds and hundreds of cities and around the world through the internet. And, you know, for people to partner with Basic Gospel, it's exciting. And it makes us as ministers feel like, you know, there's people, we've got friends, we've got backing, we've got encouragement, we've got support. And that means the world to us as we're sharing this message every day, to know that there's other people who get it, who want us to proclaim it, who want this to get out, and they want to see the outreach grow. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, we're more than grateful. From the bottom of our hearts, we say thank you.
Yes, indeed. So I think you feel it, and we certainly feel it as well. There's a momentum gathering behind this message. We've sensed it all year long, and our prayer is that momentum will just keep going, and more folks will jump on board in support of this message, who will say in their hearts, I want others to know the life, the forgiveness and freedom that I found in Jesus Christ. And that momentum will knock open more doors of opportunity, will enable us to get this message out to more people around the world. So let's keep this momentum going, folks. And you can contribute today by going to basicgospel.net, click the donate button, follow all the instructions there. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It's called Hard Passages. Richard and I take a look at a number of hard passages in the New Testament. We shine the light of God's grace on those passages. And really, when you listen, I think you will, all the confusion that you may have will be cleared up, and you will find that assurance that you really have in Christ Jesus. So that's our gift to you for your gift to Basic Gospel this month. Just go online and click the donate button at basicgospel.net and follow all the instructions. Well, we do have open lines, 844-322-2742. We're going to go right now to California and talk to Dave. Hi, Dave. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hello. I'd like to thank you for your ministry. And I have a question regarding Hebrews chapter 7, where the writer compares the ministry of Jesus and Melchizedek as on an equal basis. And also, Jesus seems to confirm this in John chapter 8, where he's contending with the Pharisees and tells them that Abraham saw his day and was glad. So is that a valid connection?
Well, Dave, first, thanks for your question today. It's great to hear from you, and I think it'll bring us a lot of interesting things to talk about here. First, you know, Hebrews 7, I'd like to share a little bit about that. The logical progression here is this, that Abraham meets Melchizedek on this lonely road after a battle. He's got his spoils of war, you know, dragging his plunder along behind him. And so he meets this mystery man, Melchizedek, and he decides to give him a tenth of all of his spoils of war. So this was not a tenth of his paycheck, by the way. It was a tenth of his spoils of war. And so he does that out of respect for Melchizedek. Now, that's interesting. Why? Well, because, you know, Levi comes from Abraham. That is the Old Testament priest, Levi. And by the way, Aaron and that whole line, they come from Abraham. And so Abraham decides that he's going to pay homage to this Melchizedek, a foreign priest, a mystery man, a man with no lineage, no heritage, no genealogy. And so what the author of Hebrews is saying is, can you explain this? He would ask any Jewish person, can you explain why Father Abraham, Abraham, who we've looked up to as the patriarch, why he would be honoring this mystery man? Well, the point is, Abraham is lesser than Melchizedek, and Melchizedek is greater than Abraham. Now transfer that to Levi is lesser than Jesus, and Jesus is greater than Levi. Now, translate that to the old covenant is lesser than the new covenant, and the new covenant is greater than the old covenant. So, guys, to me, that is the beautiful divine logic in Hebrews 7. The whole point of that passage is not to go to war with people. That's not it. Not to give a tenth of your spoils of war to people. That's not it. But it's a comparison between Melchizedek and Jesus, and then, Melchizedek and Abraham, and then Levi and Jesus. And then in the end, it's saying the old covenant is inferior to the new covenant, and the new covenant is the greatest thing we've ever been given. So therefore, give it its due. Don't lose focus. Don't mix grace with law.
And also, Dave, as far as Melchizedek and Jesus are concerned, Melchizedek is a type of Jesus. He's a foreshadowing of Jesus. So the point is that Jesus is superior as the high priest, far superior than the Levitical priesthood. And I love that it talks about the fact that because he's of this order, then he's able to save us completely, and that he has this indestructible life. And all of those really come underneath us and give us the support and assurance and just solid foundation that we need in life. If you were depending upon Levi and Aaron as your priesthood, that was shaky ground, because the sacrifices they offered could not take away the sins of the world. They were just annual reminders of our sinfulness. Or for the sinfulness of the people of Israel, they were not like the sacrifice that Jesus made. So if you're depending upon Levi and Aaron, you're on shaky ground. But once you see that Jesus is far superior in every way, and this story of Abraham and Melchizedek really amplifies that, and you rely and trust and depend upon him, then you're on solid ground. And your assurance is stable and unshakable, and will hold you firm in the midst of any storm that might come your way. So that's why this is such an important chapter in the Word of God. And Andrew, you just did an excellent job just laying out that story. And if only more people, more believers, would really understand this comparison, I think it would just do wonders to the assurance of their faith as believers.
Yeah, and you know, Dave, about John chapter 8, I think you're it makes good sense to connect that. I'm thinking of verse 39, for example. Abraham is our father, they answered. Jesus said, look, if you were Abraham's children, then you would do what Abraham did. But as it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. So Abraham did not do such things. You're doing the works of your own father. And of course, he means the devil there. So, you know, Abraham was a man of faith. He was justified by faith. And Jesus here is telling them, look, you're not acting like Abraham. You call yourselves children of Abraham, but you're not having faith in me. You're trying to kill me. So, you know, the question is, do we have faith in Jesus, or do we have faith in our own works? Do we have faith in Jesus, or do we have faith in the deeds of the law, the works of the law? And that's what Hebrews 7 is saying. Please put all your stock, all your faith in Jesus plus nothing else. Don't add to the gospel. Don't take away from what Jesus did. Don't try to add to it. Jesus is enough from start to finish.
Well, Dave, hope that helps. We sure appreciate your call and your question today, and would love to put you on hold. I'd send you a copy of my book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, okay? You hold.
I also was wondering, when Melchizedek, as the king of righteousness, mm-hmm. brought in bread and wine, was that symbolic of the sacrifice of Jesus holding the same priesthood, which would come much later?
You bet it is. It was all symbolic of the work of Christ, the fact that he laid down his life, took it up again. He shared his body. He broke his body for us. He poured out his blood for us. That's the bread and the wine that we partake of through faith in Jesus. So, yes, yeah. I think all of that is really a foreshadowing of everything that Christ accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection.
So, Bob, just curious, you know, a side note on this, you know, Melchizedek, his name means King of Righteousness. His name means King of Salem, King of Peace. That, you know, it says here, no genealogy without father, without mother, resembling the Son of God. He remains a priest forever. You know, some people think it's merely a type, merely a shadow, or some people think it's an early appearance of Christ. There's some clues here that could certainly push us in that direction. Do you have some brief thoughts on that? What is your opinion on that?
Well, I just look at it as, you know, a type, really. That's kind of where I come down. But, you know, I know a lot of folks that would say that was an early appearance of Christ. And I'm not going to argue that. against that. Certainly God showed himself in different ways in the Old Testament, and this right. It wouldn't be surprising if this wasn't one of those ways.
I've normally heard when somebody describes this, the technical term is theophany, that God showed himself at this moment. What I've usually heard following that argument is that, see, Abraham paid tithe, therefore we should. If this was a theophany, okay, fine. That's fine. But the point that was made here is the point you guys have been making, that what happened here showed the superiority of one person to another,
right,
and therefore Jesus is superior. So you can't say this is, you know, obviously a theophany or obviously just a picture. You got to keep it by grace through faith and see what the story was from the beginning to the end. Jesus is the focus. Melchizedek is not.
So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, I've always leaned toward it being an early appearance of Christ. Of course, you have to be careful, as Richard mentioned, that people don't go off the reservation here and turn it into a thou shalt tithe 10% passage, because that's not the focus at all. Again, remember, Abraham went to war and he killed people and then he took their stuff. And he's, you know, imagine a wagon full of stuff or whatever, and he's got his army there, and so he's on his way back, and he's giving his spoils of war. So this was a Middle Eastern tradition. In other words, Abraham's not the first person to give 10% of his spoils of war to somebody out of respect. I mean, this was happening from a military standpoint, and it's not, you know, nowhere in here does it say, therefore, you're supposed to give 10% of your paycheck. That's not the application. The application is, let's honor Jesus, period.
Yeah. Because when Abraham was done giving that 10%, he gave all the rest of it back to the kings from Sodom and Gomorrah. Kept a little bit for his own people, but Abraham kept none of that stuff.
Because he didn't want
to. It wasn't his, and he didn't want to be beholden to anyone.
Right. Well, I think either way you lean on this, if it was a theophany or if it was just a foreshadowing through the real character of Melchizedek, either way, it's a foreshadowing of what Christ really accomplished, the reality that we have in Christ. And that is what gives us that unshakable, unmovable faith, that real anchor that holds us firm in the midst of anything that life throws our way. So. Well, thanks, guys. Andrew, as always, so glad to have you with us every Wednesday. It means so much to me, and I know our listeners just love you and the keen insights that you bring. So thank you for being here with us. Richard, as always, thank you for being here every single day. And thank you, our listeners, for joining with us. Help spread the word. Tell a friend about Basic Gospel. Tell them how they can tune in, either by radio or at our Facebook page or on our YouTube channel or our app. There's multiple ways that people can listen, can tune in, and be encouraged by the simplicity of the good news of Jesus Christ. We want to tell the story as often as we can to as many people as we can. You're going to help move that scope out further and further and further. So thank you for doing that. Again, Basic Gospel is listener-supported radio. We rely on donations from friends like you. So if you would like to join the Basic Gospel Nation, go to basicgospel.net right now and click donate. Well, we'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.